Okay, I would like to introduce you to the first speaker.
I'm an addict. My name's Jim. Let me first start out by apologizing if I offend anybody. I usually do offend somebody in this big of a group. What a hell of a topic. I told him I didn't want to know for all this time. I knew I was going to be speaking at this event for quite some time, and I told him I didn't want to know because, you know, I plan all this big thing in my head and never get any of it out when I get up here. So I just found out like yesterday. And it's funny because the people who put this program together and chose all the speakers, they know me pretty well. So I think they put me up here on purpose. I'm going to make sure to thank them for that afterwards. Love or lust? Yeah. I don't know. I sure know what lust is. Love's a hard thing. I'll start real early on and I think you got to kind of get an idea of where I come from. Something really clicked in me today after hearing a main speaker yesterday. Thank you. I got to say, it's really awesome to, you know, every time I go to a meeting, I can always pick up something new about myself and always relate to somebody in a new way. And hanging out by the pool today, I'm processing some of that stuff I heard last night from the main speaker and really identify with those feelings. My father was in the service. He was in special forces. So, you know, we moved around and I was born overseas. And, you know, so I can identify with that that feeling, you know, as kids, people asking you, you know, what state were you born in? And, you know, so I never really felt I fit in that way. Like I said, my dad was in the service. So basically all I saw of him was anger when he was around, which was rarely. And the other extreme, I got over-attention from my mother. I've always got that. I still get that. And I'm aware of it today, and I have to, you know, draw the line so I don't cross it, because I will cross it. I'm an addict, and, you know, I will, you know, even though I'm clean today, I will still use that for my self-centeredness. You know, I didn't really know anything about love. It's funny. I'm coming up on my 15th anniversary with my wife. I don't know the first thing about love. I don't know the first thing about a relationship. The first time I really, truly felt unconditional love was from one of my animals, my dog Chopper. It's amazing what animals can teach you. I'm an animal lover, and I try to relate that to my life. And no matter how shitty I got or how much of an asshole I was, he loved me no matter what every time I came in the door. Most people aren't like that. When you find that, it's a gem. You got to hang on to it. I believe that's the only reason I've been married for this long. My wife was an addict too. She's not in the program. She's clean now. Some people can do it. It's not for me. Yeah, I don't know that I really have a firm grip on love. I know that I truly love the friendships that I've made from Narcotics Anonymous. And it's only been possible because I've done some step work. Narcotics Anonymous is step work. That's what the program is. And we're protected by the traditions. I see a lot of people that aren't willing to do the footwork. I know I was willing to do the footwork to get high. I got to apply that same attitude to my recovery. I love the friendships that I have. You know, I thought that I had friendships when I was using. I used for 20 years. I shot up for 17. The last 17 of the 20 years I used was an IV drug user. And I rode around with motorcycle clubs. And I've, you know, these people that I ran with, I thought were my brothers. And I thought they were my family. And I thought that I loved them. I thought that's what friendship was. And when I got cleaned and surrendered that I wasn't God, you know, I was able to open up and see myself and let some other people in, which is a scary thing. People can't check me on my shit if they don't know me. And I got to open up to people for that to be done. Love's painful. You know, the two greatest pains in my life have been using and relationships. They're such great pains in my life. They always have been. I don't know which is worse. It's like compared apples to oranges. It's rough, you know, and I will still find myself reverting back to the same old behaviors. I got a few days clean now, and you know, after doing some step work, I can see that stuff coming on as it goes on. And you know, I have a choice today. What I'm going to do about it, and I'll backtrack. And this is my own experience since I've been in recovery. I had 4 months clean, and I got involved into a relationship outside of my marriage with someone in a program, and I didn't use over it, but it cost me a trip to mental health, and because I felt if I wasn't protected by somebody else, that I could possibly use or kill myself or someone else. So, you know, I talked about it with my Wii, and that's what we decided to do. Check into mental health, and it's probably one of the best things I've done for my recovery so far, is start to take care of some of my outside issues. We're not supposed to have opinions on them, but you can if you want it. It's important to me to take care of my physical health, my mental health, and my spiritual health. And it says it right in the basic text, and we have a tradition that protects that. I'm grateful. That relationship scared the hell out of me. I hear it said all the time that two sickies don't make a welly. And, you know, I know that to be true, and yet I still find myself doing the same shit over and over. The blessing is I haven't found a need to use over it. And that's a blessing of the program, you know. It's painful. This is a painful process, but you know, I've been through a few things in recovery, and since my obsession has been lifted, I haven't, you know, my first reaction to every tragedy in my life has been to use or to fall back on a relationship, and I haven't found it necessary to do that since I come to this program. They told me real early on to do 90-90, get in the middle, get involved, to get active in service, and build a Wii. And I was scared as hell when I came in here. I didn't even know how to love myself. The program is teaching me to do that. I was beat when I came in. I was real willing, and I'm still real willing today on certain things. I want to hold on to some of that crap, but I know I got to let it go eventually. Who picked this topic? Somebody turned the heater on too. I don't know. You know, I know my old behaviors well. That's what I know, and I'm comfortable with the chase and the whole thing. And everybody tells me it's not good for me, and I'm an addict. I'll still lie to myself and tell myself that it, you know, I can control it. And I really can't. I have no control over it. And I don't have any control over my feelings. The only thing I have control over is the way I react to them. And I'm constantly lying to myself, telling myself that, you know, I'm going to do certain things and I'm not going to feel a certain way. And that's the disease talking to me. It definitely is cunning and baffling. It's tough, man. I'd be lying if I said it's an easy program. It's a lot of work. It's worth it to me, though. Yeah, I see some familiar faces in here, and you know, I'd be up here doing this unless I had some of my Wii in here. And you know, this is a blessing to be up here. You know, I don't know. If you're new, stick around. I don't know if I'm going to co-sign your bullshit, but, you know, if you're going to go out and make mistakes, you don't have to get high over today. I'm proof. It says right in the basic text that relapses happen. It's not a requirement. And, you know, you can get through the greatest pains. And most of them, for most addicts, are relationships. Everywhere you go, man, everybody wants to know, man, what's the secret weapon to relationships? I don't know. I got almost 15 years of marriage. I don't know the first thing. All I know is it's, you got to be willing. I have a twisted sense of love. I guess I'm learning from my friends in a program what it's about. And it's hard because we all make mistakes. And I still get pissed off real easy. And I know I've seen some other people get pissed off real easy too. I'm learning how a relationship, and I'm learning slowly why now that they, you know, they tell the men to stick with the men and the women to stick with the women, because, you know, I can't get recovery from a woman. I just can't. I can't get past the whole lust thing. I don't know if I'll ever be able to get past the whole lust thing. I definitely wouldn't have, what recovery I have today if I didn't have We of Men. And it's been real important to me to do that. These guys have saved my life literally since I've come into the program. Nobody has turned me down when I've asked for help. And I think it's because the people that are around me can see that I have willingness. It's a program of action. I have to do it. I can't sit around and think it's going to happen by osmosis. I didn't get high that way. I don't know if I'll ever be able to have the friendship-type bond with the opposite sex. I think it's my curse. And I feel alone a lot in that. That I'm alone and nobody else, you know, has the same feelings that I do. And it's painful, you know. I isolated my whole life, you know. I was never comfortable with myself. Anywhere I went, I never fit in, and that's a big reason why I used, because I didn't have to feel that way. And that was a lie, you know, that was a lie of the disease. And through the program, I have some spirituality today, and that's allowed me to love a little bit and be loved, have some serenity in my life. It's scary, man. I'm afraid of relationships. I'm afraid of my marriage. I don't know, but I know all the seats are full in here, so you all might have to take a look too. So I don't feel so alone. Never alone, they say, that's what it stands for. I don't know. I don't have the magical answer. All I know is my experience. I fight with it daily. It's something that I fight with a lot, and. You know, what's funny is, I think my we can see it more than I can see it myself. I see it, you know, I just choose not to acknowledge it. I will take the focus off of me and put it on someone else, i.e. woman, and man, my program stops. It stops, man, and not moving forward to me is taking steps backwards, and it scares me. And I find myself doing that all the time. You know, I've been blessed by having the obsession to use to be lifted from me. But I still obsess about a lot of things. Lust is one of them. And I pray for that all the time. Please lift it from me. And I don't know. I guess I'm not doing enough footwork or something, or it's not that time in my life, or who knows. I know today I don't have to use over that pain. I've experienced pain from relationships. I'm learning, you know. I've I'm coming up on 18 months clean here in a few days, and you know, I'm new to the whole relationship thing, and it really starts with the bonds that I make with my sponsor and men in the program. I mean, that's where it's at, and it's hard, man. If I'm like any of the other guys in here, I don't want to hang around a bunch of guys, you know, shit. But I need to do that for me. That's, you know, like I said, I cannot get recovery from a woman, and that kind of sucks. It does. That's all right, though. man. Do you have the answer? I don't have it. I don't know, man. You know, like I said, you know, I take the focus off of me and I'll turn it on to somebody else. And it doesn't matter. It could be anybody, any girl in the room, you know. You smile at me, man. It's on. It's horrible, man. I'm so addicted to that whole, you know, connection thing. And it's like a drug to me. You know, I can turn that addiction on anything. And that's probably one of the easiest things that I can turn it on to is a female. And this shit scares me. Everybody tells me, oh, you keep doing that shit, look at you high. And I tell them, oh, screw you. I'm not getting high today. I don't have to. But I know deep in my heart that if I keep repeating these same mistakes over and over and over, you know, like it says, you know, at some point I'm going to be backed into a corner and I'm going to be screwed. I do have my Wii, though. That's what they're there for. It's give and take. I'm grateful for that. I don't know, man. You guys don't have a clock hanging in here. Thanks. Appreciate that.
435.
I don't know, man. I know how to lust, man. I can give you all guys some tips. Well, let me see here. What I've learned from doing step work about love. The program definitely loved me in the beginning and still does when I can't love myself, and they have loved me when I couldn't love myself. And from doing step work, I've accepted the fact that I'm powerless over my addiction. And at any point, my life can become unmanageable with or without the use of drugs. But I have a choice over that today. You know, step two, it says, could restore me to sanity. And like, when? When are you going to restore me to sanity? And it's about what I do. It's about the action that I take. And, you know, I have faith in a program. If I do the footwork at some point in time, if I stay clean, I will reap the rewards. And that's what I believe. And I never believed in anything in my heart before I came to the program. And thank God for H&I coming into the facility I was at. If it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be standing here today. So, you know, if get involved and get an H&I, that's where it's at. I mean, I definitely wouldn't be here unless it was for H&I. Step three scares a lot of people. It didn't scare me. Like I said, I was willing. I was beat down. I was willing to try something new because my way failed and everything. I was just having a discussion today about 4 and 5 with a friend of mine, sponsor. And you know, a lot of people are afraid of this step, and suggested that you don't, you know, give a lead or speak or go into a facility unless you've done a 4th and 5th step, because that stuff bleeds out when you share. And I'm so grateful. I was scared when I did that 4th step. And it wasn't that hard once I started to do it. I was like, you know. And then when I did my 5th step, it wasn't what I thought going in. And it taught me that if I let go of this stuff and share it with somebody and get it out in the open and verbalize it, that I don't have to carry it around. And that helped me get closer to my sponsor. I have a new sponsor now. All sponsors are temporary. I don't know, man. Love's a hard thing. It's been tricking us all for thousands of years. I don't know. You know what? Fine. I love the program of Narcotics Anonymous. It hasn't steered me wrong. Hasn't screwed me over. It didn't screw my girlfriend. Didn't steal from me. Everything that the program's given me that I've worked for is real. It's real. If I had to say the difference between love and lust, love is real, lust is not. It's just like being clean and not. I can even today choose to live in that fantasy, and I find myself doing it all the time. It scares me, and I'm an addict. It's everywhere in me. Everywhere I look, it comes out of me. I'm just oozing with addictive behaviors. And I want to be real today. I really do. I'm as poor as I've ever been in my life. So if anybody wants to make a donation, I don't really care, about money today. And a lot of people are close to me like, what are you talking about? I had a love affair with money too, I self-willed my ass to a six-figure job, and I thought that was, happiness, and it was. I'm happy today. I'm doing what I love to fill my time, and that's real. It doesn't make me any money, but it's sure as hell real, and it's very rewarding. That fantasy, and it's hard for a lot of people. I know. For me, I had to be beat until I was willing to see that there was a better way, that I didn't have to live like that. I wrote this down the other day, and I didn't know that that people lived clean. I everybody in my family partied, and I didn't know there were people out there in the world that didn't their lives didn't revolve around getting high. That's all I knew. And it's amazing, how a simple thing like a water slide, in a park that beats the hell out of you. And that's real, That's real. And I loved it out there, man. I had a good time. I felt like I was 12 again. That stuff's real. I can hang on to that fantasy stuff all I want, but I know it makes me sicker. It does. So, my wee's out there. You have to be calling me on my shit here in the next couple of weeks. So I'm laying it all out there for you now. I don't know, man. I want to live real today. If you got something out of it, great. If not, there's somebody speaking right behind me. If you don't get it here, there's meetings all over the world. Get to another one, I love everybody in this room. I can say that. I love all you guys. That's all I got. Keep coming back.
Thanks, Jim. All right, the next speaker that the committee has asked is Marcia, and she's from Recovery in the 80s. I guess that pertains to Upper Manhattan.
Yeah.
From Manhattan, New York, of N.A.
Hi, family. My name is Marcia. I'm an addict. Hi, back. First, I want to thank the God of my understanding for absolutely everything. For that part of my story, we're both going to have to make a whole lot more meetings. I have today 9 years, 9 months, and 14 days clean. And I'm just beginning to get in touch with a whole lot of stuff. Jim, where you at? Where'd you go? Thank you for breaking the ice, for getting us started. And I'm with you, man. Who the hell picked this topic? Okay? Because, see, a little bit about me. I don't like people. That's my story. That's the beginning, the middle, and the end. I use because I'm 3 years old now, and I've always been short. Okay? I've always been little. I've always had to be in front. I've always felt like I've been picked on. I was never comfortable with my own self. I was part of a family who loved me very much, unbeknownst to me. And I was never comfortable inside my own skin. I didn't feel like I belonged to my mother and father. I didn't feel like I belonged to my sisters and brothers. I didn't feel like I belonged anywhere, any place, at any given time. I don't like people. I eventually, after coming here, found out that the person I didn't like was me. What has that got to do with love or lust? Every damn thing. Hopefully, I might even get around to some of that. I was at a meeting earlier this morning, and the speaker shared that she had a little cheat sheet that she wrote, and she had it in her pocket. By the time she got to the podium, she had lost it, so she had to wing it. And I guess that's God working through us to shake the honesty out of us. Well, you see, I came up here with all my props, right? And I came up here ready because I want to give a clean Narcotics Anonymous message. And everything just fell apart and all my bookmarks fell out, so here we go. For those of you who are sitting in this very hot, very packed room waiting to hear some juicy, torrid, steamy, lust issues, go ahead on outside where it's cool, because I ain't got none of them. I have learned to listen, and I'm still listening to learn. And as I was sitting here between meetings, and at the beginning of this meeting, I was listening to some of the comments around the rooms. Like, yeah, this is going to be a juicy topic. I'm going to come sit in on this meeting. Hope I have sorry to disappoint you. Because I looked at it, too. I'm like, oh, this is going to be a good one. Also about me. Because I don't like people and am learning to do so and am learning to get along with, it was suggested to me early in my recovery that I do service. And I began doing service on the group level. I started doing service on the area level. Most recently, I've done service on the area / regional level. And the Greater New York Region just came out of their 2-year process of having a convention, Freedom 18. God bless program committees, because they pick topics that people have to come and share their experience, strength, and hope on. So when the program committee of this area called me, I was like, oh, man, finally, 9 years, I get to speak at a convention. Great, sure. I said yes before they even told me what the topic was. Then he says, well, your topic is love or lust. I'm like, bet. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I'm going to pack a room. I'm going to be profound. I'm going to finally be one of those people that I saw at NA meetings or at NA conventions that had these fabulous messages and were entertaining and enthralling. But in my home group, I've never been any of that. Lust. Me wanting to be like somebody else. Me comparing my insides by somebody else's outsides. Me wanting to sound like some of the people who do speak at conventions and meetings, who are fabulous, who give real clear meetings, who make you laugh 1 minute and cry the next, and that ain't me. I have learned to figure out who I am some way. So, like Jim, when it finally sunk in that this juicy topic, it's kind of hellacious because it is a painful place. I started doing what y'all suggested that I do. I started doing some work. I started doing some work on me. I started asking myself, what the hell does this topic mean? So I called my sponsor. She said, huh? And we talked about lust. And we talked about love. And she said, well, Marcia, you need to get a working understanding of what these words mean. Now, I have a sponsor who keeps me in the basic tools. Like I said, I have 9 years, 9 months, and I already forgot how many days, 14, 15 days clean. I carry a knapsack with me with all my basic tools because I forget stuff. You know, I get to thinking that I know everything there is to know. So I thought I could just talk about this topic, love or lust, off the top of my head and be profound. Until I looked up the word lust. I thought the word lust had to do with, ooh, baby, come here, let me do you now. Or better than that, you saying, ooh, baby, let me do you now. For those of you who can't see me, I am not 5'10". I don't have long blonde hair. I am not 34, 26, 34. And there's nothing lusty about me as far as I'm concerned. And that's caused me great pain. Like I said, I'm short, I'm small, I feel incomplete and insecure. And what is attractive about me? I have short little nappy hair, thick lips, and that's not sexy, and nobody's gonna lust after me, and ah, damn, I'm in self-pity all over again. Lust was always about chasing something to make me feel better on the inside, but it didn't even work to fix the temporary outside stuff. Anybody ever been there? I don't know. It might be something that only I've gone through, you know? So I employed some of these basic tools that I drag around with me. And an interesting thing happened in that process. I went to the back of the basic text, because there's an index there that has some topics, you know? And I looked for the word lust. Guess what? It ain't there. What? How am I going to get some experience, strength, and hope to share these healed of lust? Another basic tool my sponsor suggested that I use is a dictionary. See, because like I said, I thought I knew what lust was. I thought lust was just gimme. I want that. Ooh! Hey, baby, you look good in them shorts. Come here and talk to me. Went to the dictionary. Lot of definitions of lust. They pretty much mean the same thing. Now, I'm a product of the New York City public school system, when that meant something, okay? When they had English and civics and social studies, and teachers made you do homework and send it home and have your parents look at it and correct it and bring it back and go over it so that maybe, just maybe, you'd learn something from it. Okay? So I learned to use things like nouns and verbs and stuff like that. So just stay with me for a minute, because I want to try and help Jim understand the difference between love and lust. And maybe by helping Jim, I'll get some understanding too, because that's what y'all taught me. If I reach out to another human being, not only will they grow, but I will too. Remember, I don't like y'all, so I gotta get better with this. Lust, as a noun, as a thing, a noun is a thing, or a person or place. A strong wanting of what promises enjoyment or pleasure. Jim said it real short. It ain't real. It's an illusion. It's a promise. Now, I don't know about you, but when I made a lot of promises. A lot of promises. Hey, babe, you know, if you just give me this, I'll do that. Mm-hmm. As soon as I finish doing this, you know, I'll be there tomorrow to give you back your money. I'm not going to steal from you no more. Just let me in for 5 minutes. Made a lot of promises. I don't know if any of you have done that. Promises aren't reality. They're just promises. And here I go living my life based on air, based on my word, which until 9 years, 9 months, and 27 days ago was meaningless. My promises had nothing to do with you, God, spirituality, or reality. They were a means of me opening the door to get my foot in, to get what I wanted. Hell with you. I don't like you, remember? Lust as a verb is to have a greedy, obsessive, unrestrained desire. I know a little something about obsession. Y'all taught me about that here. Obsession is what kept me out there. Obsession is what kept me running and running and running and running and running and running longer and faster than the Energizer damn bunny. Doing what? I don't know, but I was going because I had to keep moving, because I had to get what I thought would fill that void inside me. With them shorts on, baby, you look good. Lust. I'm chasing nothing. hard and fast. I heard a couple of men come in here talking about, I got lust issues. What are you talking about? The number one dictionary definition of lust, sexual hunger. That's it. Sexual hunger has nothing to do with me treating you like a human being, has nothing to do with me respecting your feelings, has nothing to do with me being respected by you, has nothing to do with nothing but, let's get it on. Ow, baby. Lust. And it ran my life for I don't know how many years. I don't know if I can say that I lusted as a child because that last definition, well, sexual hunger wasn't part of that. I don't know if I can say that lust was an issue when I was using, because in the last few years of using, sexual hunger had nothing to do with what I was doing. Sexual manipulation had a large part to do with what I was doing. And as I got clean, sexual desire pretty much non-existent, because I had worn myself out, played you out, and really just did not even want to be bothered or be around. Remember, I don't like you people. It took me a year and a half of being clean to get comfortable with somebody just hugging me that I didn't know. And I mean somebody that I didn't know. I had to know you, like my mother, who's known me for 15 years, okay? Like my sponsor, who is the same sponsor that I've had, thank you, Lord, since I came into the program, somewhere between 27 and 42 days clean. I've had this same person in my life. And it took a while for me to allow her to touch me, because sexual hunger had played itself out. I wasn't hungry. Sex for me, was a means to an end, and an end to the means, you know? I was real tired of it. Matter of fact, most of the time, and for a long time after I got clean, sex was like a non-entity, you know? It was like, yeah, all right, you finish. All right, give me mine, get the hell on next. Because that's how I lived my life. When I came into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous and I started listening to people talking about their issues and their problems and their personalities and their story and their experience, strength, and hope, you know, I heard people using the word love a lot. Oh, you know, and I fall in love a lot, you know, and I'm in love with this girl over here, and I love this, and I love that. And it occurred to me that some of those folks, and eventually myself, was using that word love to mean sex. Did I say that out loud? It took a long time for me to separate the two. Number one. Number two, it took me a long time to realize that there's a place for sex. And yeah, I'm going to say it out loud. The rooms of Narcotics Anonymous is not the place for it. I don't need to be running around looking at, oh my God, baby, stand up. You look good. I used to do that in my first couple of years. I was attracted by the men who, after I opened my eyes, started to look and sound and smell real nice. Some of y'all look good. Y'all need to know that. So I took a suggestion. Any man's story that I was attracted to, practice some basic tools. Look and listen. And if I liked what I saw, I better look and listen some more. Because we're not here because we have this wonderful life we want to share with each other. We got here because we did some funky stuff. And I need to hear all the funky stuff and then make a conscious decision as to whether I really wanted to emotionally entangle myself with this other recovering addict. Or maybe it was just a sexual hunger that I need to let pass by. You know what I mean? So as I came and as I stayed, love no longer meant sex. Love no longer meant lust. Love no longer meant sexual hunger and feeding that momentary fleeting what I thought was a good feeling thing. But it left a void. It left a real big void. Well, then what the hell is love? What is it? Where do I get it? How do I get it? Y'all talk about unconditional love. Yeah, I get hug. Yeah, unconditional love. Yeah, mwah, see you next week. Yeah, okay, unconditional love. Yeah, I'll pick up the chairs and ashtray the boob. Yeah, unconditional love. But what does that mean? I didn't know. I never knew. And it wasn't for lack of availability. Because I told you, I came from a family that appeared to be functional. I grew up with a mommy and a daddy and three sisters in a house. We didn't move a lot. I went to good schools. I ate every day. I wore clean clothes. I have a very good education. None of that shit kept me clean. And nobody in my family is an active addict. So where did that come from? Me. It came from me. There's something in my nature. There's something about me that has always hated me. There's something about me that never took the time to sit down and say, you know what? There's a greater good to all this. You do have a purpose. And you might want to sit down and stop trying to kill your damn self and find out what it is. But for the first 42 years of my life, that light bulb did not come on. It flickered every now and then. It did, you know, because, you know, Christmas would come and I would get the toys and then 3 days later, you know, the obsession and compulsion, I'd go over to my friend's house and they had more toys, better toys, different toys, and I no longer wanted what I had, you know. I wanted what they had and sometimes I took it home with me, you know. I was never comfortable with me. Never, ever, not once. Maybe that is a sign of mental illness. Could be. Could explain why I spent so much of my early trying to get clean part in and out of institutions, in and out and back in of institutions, running and ducking and dodging and trying to figure out what the hell is wrong with me. Somewhere in that process, I got introduced to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. The H&I people used to come, you know. And I heard somebody say one day, stay until the miracle happens. What miracle? Ain't no miracle. I saw the Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston. The burning bush thing has been done already. That ain't gonna happen. What miracles are you talking about? The miracle they were talking about is the turnaround in my attitude, my behavior, and my thinking that I'm a worthwhile individual and that love is an inside job. Huh? Okay, so how do I do that? Well, I don't know. So I started coming to these meetings and I went through the institutional process for a final time. But in that process, I began to hear the same thing I'd been hearing, but processing it differently. I started hearing we. We came to believe that a power greater than ourselves. We have been, are in the process of being restored to sanity. We. And that one word, we, was my first unconscious contact, not only with a God of my own understanding, but with my lack of understanding with myself. Because we is me with the first letter turned upside down. Y'all told me to turn my thinking upside down, right? And as soon as I got off of me and realized that there was more than one person on the planet, you know, that the universe truly did not revolve around me, and I might be better off if I tried to open my mind or my heart, or at least my mouth, and let you all know what was going on inside of me, that something else might come in. And Jim, what came in, what started to trickle in, what came in through that little cracked door, was the beginning of something that the dictionary defines as love. Because here I am back to this basic tool that my spine could be opened up to some new stuff. Love. A strong liking for someone or something, a passionate affection, a tender feeling. Love is not the opposite of lust. Love is the opposite of apathy. Love is the opposite of emptiness. Love is the opposite of gimme. Love is the beginning of show me. Help me. How can I help you? I don't want to be alone anymore. How do I not do that? Love is a spiritual principle. Lust is an emotional disaster. Love is a power of attraction, and y'all know something about the power of attraction because you were that for me. I did not know how to stay clean. I did not know how to give or do or be or have love. Lust, today for me, is a tremendous power of distraction. And I know when I'm all up in the, I want that. I need to sit down and go, wait a minute, what hole are you trying to fill that needs to be addressed another way? Because just for today, I'm able to do some things. I'm able to get some things. I'm able to buy some things. I'm able to have some things. And you know what? Every time I go shopping or buy a new electronic gadget, because I'm a geek. I'm a geeky girl. I'm going to tell you that right now. If it's electronic and it plugs in and it makes noise, I like it. But 5 minutes after I have it, I'm bored. Lust. If it don't last more than 11 minutes, it might not be love. Oh, yeah, there too, yeah. What is love? It's an underlying oneness. Now, that definition, I think, is the definition that fits these rooms. And that's where y'all came in. And that's why I stay. That underlying oneness. Because you need to know, I'm from Manhattan. How long did it take us to get here? We left at 11:30 in the morning and we found this place at like 9, what? There is no way in Hosanna I'd have chased a man, a drug, a swinging thing, or nothing that long, I'd have changed my mind and went and got something else. I'd have been like, the hell with that. That ain't worth it. That ain't worth it. I'll go find something else to fill that void. But just for today, I was so attracted to the possibility that I might get to meet a whole bunch of noisy people that I kept coming. And I asked questions, and we stopped along the way, and we did the Crack Barrel thing, and it was kind of fun, you know. And I got here, and I realized that this is what love is, Tim. Jim, this is what love is. The underlying oneness of Narcotics Anonymous. That any addict can do what? Stop using. Use the desire, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. Miracle. That's the miracle y'all told me to stay and wait for. Okay? There's a lot of things in our basic text about love. Now, I went back to our basic tools. And that word is in our index. The index is in the back of the basic text for those of y'all who just got here and haven't familiarized yourself with our literature yet. I think I counted no less than 14 pages where the love or the reference of the spiritual principles of love appear. Now, if that ain't repetitious, I don't know what is. But you know what? I need to have it be repetitious. I need to have it appear in different places, in different formats, in different ways, because lust sure shows up in different formats, in different places, in different ways, and I don't need to go there with that. I did find one reference to lust in our basic text. I know there's more than one because I've heard it, you know, and I need to get better with the literature too. But I did find one, and guess what chapter it was in? Recovery and relapse. And it wasn't on the recovery page. It was on the relapse page, and I'm going to tell you where it was. It was on page 76, and I wish I could find my glasses, because I can't. It's on page 77. Yeah, see? Thanks. Love. Okay? It's on page 77. Obsessive behavior is a common denominator for addictive people. That's me. Not addicted people. because I stopped using drugs 9 years, 9 months, and 14 days ago. But I still have addictive and destructive patterns of behavior that are only arrested a day at a time. We have times when we try to fill ourselves up until we are satisfied, only to discover that there's no way to satisfy us. Me. I can take out that word us and put me in there and be just fine with it. Part of our addictive pattern is that we can never get enough. Sometimes we forget. That's me all over the place. That's me standing here telling me, I don't like you. Yes, I do. You're too handsome and too beautiful and too precious to not like and to not love. You have too much to give me for me to have the audacity to tell you that I don't love you today. Y'all need to give yourselves a round of applause right now. Thank you. Sometimes we forget. I forget. And if I think that I can just get enough food or enough sex or enough money, I'll be satisfied and all will be right. Self-will, there it is. Self-will still leads us to make decisions based on manipulation, ego, lust, or false pride. There's our reference to lust. Ain't nothing positive about it. It's a power of distraction. Okay? Love, on the other hand, like I said, we've got a whole lot of references to. And I use some other basic tools, too. And because it's not Narcotics Anonymous literature, and those of you who can't see what I just pulled up don't need to know where it come from, but I got some real good definitions of what love is from another basic tool that I use. Okay, and I'm going to close real quick because I know we got to have a nice way of closing. Unlike Jim, I can talk for a minute. Our program has a history. It has a very rich and deep history. There is another fellowship associated with the foundations of our program. That program has a saying in it that says, rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. What does that have to do with love or lust? Absolutely everything. The love in that sentence is translated in our basic text, believe it or not, on the very opposite page from what I just read, on page 76, same chapter. It's on the recovery part. We have never seen a person who lives the Narcotics Anonymous program relapse. Don't leave before the miracle happens. What kind of miracle are we talking about? We're talking about the miracle of being able to live the Narcotics Anonymous program. More importantly, we're talking about the miracle of being able to live the principles of the Narcotics Anonymous program. What are those principles? I don't know. I didn't make them up. I didn't write them. They're on page 50. By staying clean, we begin to practice spiritual principles such as hope, surrender. Come on now, if you know them, you can do it with me. Acceptance, honesty, open-mindedness, willingness, faith, tolerance, patience, humility, unconditional love, sharing, and caring. Lust is just lust. It's out there all by itself. Love got a whole lot of brothers and sisters and cousins carrying on called spiritual principles that give us the hope to do this one day at a time, that give me the hope to not go out there after 9 years, 9 months, and 14 days and one day have a bad feeling and take 5 minutes and $5, make a bad decision, and not end up back here again. We have recently buried a bunch of folks, some of them clean, some of them not. And I loved all of them. I used because I could not manage my feelings. I used because I could not manipulate outcomes. I used because when I finally got the courage to love somebody or something, it left. It died. It moved. It had a parent that was in the service and took it away. And I didn't know what to do. So I hated me. And that pattern continued till y'all showed me a new way to live. Where do we get these principles from? We get them from a lot of different places. And the most important and the most life-saving principle that we have in this fellowship is that unconditional love peace. What is love? Love is patient. Love is not jealous. It is not pompous. It's not self-centered. It is not inflated. It is not rude. It does not seek its own interests. It is not quick-tempered. It does not brood over injury. It does not rejoice over wrongdoing, but it rejoices over the truth. Love. What does love do? Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Why did I read that piece about relapse? People who live our program never relapse. Love never fails. I wish I was bright enough and brilliant enough and spiritual enough to have written that myself, but I didn't. So I've learned to read basic tools and incorporate them and write out that damn step working guide and find out how it applies to me. And the hope in all that is that I have come to believe that love is a power of attraction. Love never fails. People let you down in a minute now. Some intentionally, some not so. Sometimes we mean to be there and just don't show up. Sometimes we try to do the right thing and it just falls short. But this program is a program of love. I have a friend who says often, nobody told you they love you today? You need to take a look at who you're hanging out with. My name is Marsha. Thanks for letting me share.